Good morning. It's Tuesday morning. It's time once again for Sentinel Sports on Raven Radio. I'm Robert Woolsey, news director here at Raven Radio. I'm joined by
Klaus Dopey, sports editor at Six Sentinel.
And Klaus, I guess it's going to be a few weeks here of basketball.
Constant basketball banter.
But basketball is a Southeast Alaska thing. I mean, it's part of the lifestyle here, and I don't think anybody's necessarily turning off their radios because it's like, oh, basketball again.
I'm born and raised Southeast basketball. I remember playing against Wrangell Institute when I was in fifth grade. So,
wow.
Yeah, you know, you can't go anywhere in Southeast without talking about basketball.
Okay, and I guess Mount Edgecombe played over the weekend?
Locally, the Mount Edgecombe boys and girls played. Mount Edgecombe lost to the Homer Mariners in overtime, 70-63. And these are on the road. Junior Jonathan Constantine from Toke hit a three-pointer at the buzzer to force the overtime. He led the Braves with 15 points. Bear Brown added 11. Emmett Dunaway had 10 points. And R.J. Alstrom Beans had 9. The Braves also lost to the 4A Soldotna Stars, 50-36. And Brown led the scoring with 13 points. And Leon Toomer is from Kotzebue. He had 9. Now, I mentioned Soldotna because when you look at Soldotna, they play in the Northern Lights Conference, and they are in the middle of the pack behind Colony and Kodiak, and they're in front of Wasilla and Palmer. But also last weekend in Southeast, Colony beat Juneau Douglas 66-40 and then swept Thunder Mountain 46-27 and 51-35. And I like to talk about this because it shows the parity in the league. Because then Juneau Douglas turned around and surprised the Southeast Conference top seed Ketchikan 75-67. And then the Kings got back on track with a 65-32 win over the Crimson Bears. And these games were at Juneau. So that says a lot about Ketchikan this season, that they are able to play so strong on the road. And Ketchikan returns their entire starting five from last year, and they are very fast with All-State brothers senior Marcus Lee and junior Chris Lee. We will get to see Ketchikan here mid-February against Mount Edgecombe. And Juneau Douglas, of course, this year they have two outstanding and exciting sophomore starters in Brock McCormick and Cooper Kriegmont, and Thunder Mountain has one of the best Southeast guards in junior Bryson Echeverry.
So, Klaus, Ketchikan is 4A, Mount Edgecombe and Sitka are 3A. What is the potential advantage for Mount Edgecombe to play Ketchikan, and what does Ketchikan risk if they lose to Edgecombe?
Well, that all goes into who your opponent is playing, and so everybody gains an advantage by playing a strong team no matter what 2A, 3A, 4A level, because what they're doing is now they're taking into account, you know, not just who you play, but who your opponent plays across all three divisions. Usually they were limiting that to the division you were in. So it's just fun. Now it's fun. I mean, you pick, and you're seeing a lot of teams are doing this now. They're going to these tournaments that have multiple teams in them, you know, and that has a lot to do with budget too, just because, you know, you want to get the most bang for your buckets now is what it is.
Right. So Ketchikan's Kehi is going to come to Sitka and play Mount Edgecombe at home here, yep. or play Mount Edgecombe here, yep, at home. Are they also going to play Sitka?
I didn't see that on the schedule.
That would be interesting to know why they didn't try and pick up a game against Sitka, and they did want to play Edgecombe. I do know Edgecombe has got a reputation for being a fast team. I think historically they have fielded fast teams, and they like that fast gameplay. And it sounds like Ketchikan is sort of in that same mindset.
Yeah, and but Sitka this year, from what I've seen, but I've only seen them both early, Sitka could be the faster team this year. So I can't wait till they go to head-to-head, but we're not going to see that happen until late this month. Like at the very end of this month, they play each other, and then I believe Homer's here and Lathrop's here, you know, for various different teams. So that'll be exciting to watch.
Yeah. Any girls basketball over the weekend?
You know, on the girls' side, the Mount Edgecombe girls lost a pair of games at Ketchikan over the weekend, and they lost big, 55-31 and 64-36. Senior Sonora Bell from Yakutat led in scoring both nights with 10 points for the Lady Braves, and senior Bristol Charlie She's being counted on now to be the team's defensive stopper, and of course she comes from just winning that, you know, state wrestling championship, so she's pretty feisty. And then the Juneau girls lost to Bartlett High School 55-47, and the Colony girls destroyed Thunder Mountain 58-28 and 48-25, and these games were at Juneau.
All right.
Both, you know, boys coach Archie Young and girls coach Kathy Forrester, they said fatigue was a big factor in the losses this weekend, you know, and that's expected when most of your players go home for an extended Christmas break. So, and both the Sitka teams were idle this last week, but both will be playing at the Palmer Invitational Tournament this coming weekend, and that, again, that will include 4A Palmer, 3A Grace Christian, and 4A West Valley.
Could be an exciting tournament. So, Klaus, where do all these great high school basketball players go when they graduate from school?
You just had to ask that.
Yeah. What's the opportunity for basketball like once you become an adult?
You know, you find those open gyms and you go to those tournaments and you get picked up by teams all over, and you even wind up at the old Mount Edgecombe Invitational this weekend.
Right. And this is a thing. The Mount Edgecombe Invitational is a thing. Right? This is a lot of standouts from high school basketball over the years.
Over the years. I played in this tournament when it was called the Alaska Airlines Tournament, and before that it was just an invitational tournament. Sitka might even have hosted it at that gym because it was bigger. So, you know, I have my picks and favorites, you know, across the tournament. I think it's exciting. The most exciting part is always the opening game, because it's a double elimination tournament, of course, but you never want to have that loss sitting in your back pocket when you have to go up against a team and you don't know when a new player is going to come in on the next flight or the next boat or whatever, you know, so it gets kind of hectic.
Right. So who are some of the teams? A lot of people come from out of town for this thing.
A lot of people coming from out of town. We heard the interview earlier with Andrew Frisky saying, you know, we got teams across the state. You know, in the men's open right now, my favorite team, I mean, you have Wrangell coming in, Sitka A&B, Metlakatla, A&B Cake, A&W, and a mixture of Ketchikan and Juneau players, and Heidelberg, and Yakutat. Heidelberg has... of course, Damon Bellhooter, who is, you know, everyone thinks is, you know, the cat's meow, so to speak. But on the Heidelberg team, if I had to pick anybody first or second on a pickup game, if I was picking a team, I would take Jeb Phillips. He's a kid. He's from Petersburg. He's been playing for Heidelberg for years. And anyone that's listening that plays basketball, and if you're on the Heidelberg team, you know that Jeb is one of the backbones of the team. He guards the toughest player. He goes to the boards. He can shoot. He can hit when he needs to hit. He's just an athletic all-around kid. He doesn't need to score because they have, the Edenshaw boys, Vinny and Devin, and you know, and then, you know, Bellhooter inside, whatever. But I would pick that team. Are going up against Wrangell in the championship. Wrangell. Kevin Curtin and Keith Young, they're phenomenal players to watch.
And you call some of these guys kids, but really they're guys in their 20s and 30s, right?
Yeah, I guess I call them all kids because I'm older. And
yeah. And on the women's side, there's tough women's teams too, right?
You know, and I don't know a lot of the players on the women's side. I'm excited to get to watch the team coming from Petersburg, the Norse Rebels or something. You have the Anchorage Half-Breeds, and so that, you know, that's going to be a mix of some kids that might be up at school and are coming down, and so that'll be exciting to watch. I think any division we go to will be pretty phenomenal for this tournament.
Okay, and so the action starts Wednesday or Thursday, is it?
Starts Wednesday at 6 p.m.
Starts Wednesday, 6 p.m.
It's going to be open Masters and open Wednesday night. Yeah. Yakutat and Sitka A&B right off at 6 p.m. Fairbanks versus Whites of Sitka at 7:30. That's a Masters game. And then Wrangell versus Allen Marine at 9 o'clock at night.
And Masters is 35 and up?
Masters is 45.
45 and up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I guess it all comes to a head on Saturday with the championship games. And this is, these games tend to bring down the house.
Yeah. Yeah. And usually, and the thing about these tournaments is players can play in multiple divisions. If, you know, like a young guy can, or an older guy can play in a younger division. And so depending on how tired some of the younger old guys are, that kind of that kind of sets the tone.
Yeah, and who's still standing?
Who's
by
still,
seven?
Yeah, yep. When it's all said and done.
Thanks for keeping us in touch with sports.
I'm trying. And I'm just sorry we're so limited. I couldn't get into all the divisions. So.
All right. Well, I'll be curious to hear what you have to say about the Mount Edgecombe Invitational next week as well. I'm Robert Woolsey, news director here at Raven Radio. I'm joined by
Klaus Dopey, sports editor at Sick Sentinel.
And you're listening to Sentinel Sports on Raven Radio.